Let us read this passage from verse 35. We've seen already in this gospel how Mark has introduced Jesus and how he has shown us how the Old Testament points to Jesus. And he's also shown us the beginning of Jesus' ministry with the commission of Jesus by his Father, the temptation in the wilderness, and his proclamation that he has come to declare the kingdom of God. And we've also seen two healings before this one that we come to today, the healing of the man with the unclean spirit, and also the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. But now we come to verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, that is Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. Amen. This is the word of God. In Louisiana, there is an old sugar plantation that, if you were to go and visit it, has not been turned into a housing development like many old plantations have, nor is it simply just been left to go to seed like many old plantations have. But this old sugar plantation of Carville, Louisiana, is the last leper colony in the United States. You could go and visit it today, and it's still in operation. It is the only federal facility in the continental United States still to care for patients with leprosy. This facility once housed up to 500 lepers in its colony, but now there's only 8 of those patients remaining. And I bet you didn't know that. I bet you didn't know that when you came to church this morning, that there's still a leper colony in America. In fact, at the height of Carville's industry, when there were 500 patients there, I bet you wouldn't have known that it existed. There's a story about a patient that arrived at Carville in his late teens, having been diagnosed with the telltale spots on his arm, who walked in and saw his sister there. His sister, who he thought had gone away to college in the north. But it turned out she'd gone to the leper colony. No word was ever spoken of it because of the shame that would have been brought on the family. We don't talk about leprosy in modern day America. It's not something that is normal to us. Now, there are times when we read in our Bibles and that which we're reading seems incredibly irrelevant, incredibly distant to us. We read the imprecatory Psalms. We read of the psalmist praying these prayers of judgment upon his enemies. And there's something about it that just seems so primitive to us. It just seems so barbaric. We read of slaves in the Bible. And we think of, again, barbarism and man's inhumanity to man. And we think, what can this have to do with me as a 21st century Christian? And I think when we read passages about leprosy, we probably think the same thing too. This is something that doesn't really have a lot to do with me. This was a very long time ago in a land far, far away. So what should we do when we come across this passage about this leper that comes
to Jesus?
Should we just write it off as something a little barbaric, a product of a culture which didn't understand medically what was going on, didn't really understand these medical conditions? Well, no, obviously not. That's not the nature of Scripture. If we believe the Bible, then we believe that every portion of it is applicable and important for us as Christians. But I think this should not be written off for another reason. And that reason is, I want to argue this morning that leprosy is just really a supporting character in this account. The point that Mark is pressing home with this little vignette has very little to do with the skin disease, as we'll see as we go on. So first of all, the setting of this. Mark gives verses 35 to 39 as the setting of this situation. Now, there's certainly much in these passages that we could dwell on, but I think Mark is using it as an introduction. He's setting the scene. He's setting up this situation. And we see Jesus coming out after a very busy Sabbath in which he had preached at the synagogue, in which he had cast out a demon, in which he had healed Peter's mother-in-law and dealt with multitudes that were coming with him. Jesus rises very early in the morning to go out and to find a desolate, a lonely place where he can be free from distraction and commune with his Father in heaven. This is an important thing. This isn't just a mere detail, because we see here Jesus actively searching out a place for fellowship alone with his Father. There are four verbs here: rising, departed, went, and prayed, which emphasizes Jesus' resolve to a fellowship with his Father. That is incredibly important, and we could use this as a point to go off and comment on the Trinitarian nature of Jesus' ministry. That is important, but as I say, I think it's part of an introduction that Mark is giving here. We could also notice in this passage Simon Peter's misunderstanding. Simon Peter searches for Jesus, finds him, and amazingly rebukes him. I mean, what gall this man has. He finds him and he basically says to Jesus, "What do you think you are doing? You are in completely the wrong place. Come back with me and we can heal many more people. We can make this into something huge. Don't you know there are thousands of people who want to see you?" But Simon Peter, as zealous as he is, and as so often as he does, misses the point. You see, the people were not looking for Jesus. They were looking for the things Jesus could give them. This was idolatry at work. They were looking for his miracles, not his words. They were looking for the gifts, not the giver. And so what Simon Peter mistakes for success is in reality idolatry. So we could focus on that. We could focus on Jesus moving to a new place, how he rebukes Simon Peter and then they move to a new place to preach so that Jesus can preach and declare that the kingdom of God is at hand and to summon sinners to repentance. I think all those could be sermons in and of themselves. But what I want us to see this morning is they're an introduction, they're a run-up to this confrontation between the leper and Jesus. Mark is driving home the point that Simon Peter misses, that the miracles are not the end, but the miracles illustrate and support this message of Jesus that the kingdom is at hand. And so we come to this leper. After the almost throwaway comment of verse 39 that Jesus was preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons, like, of course he was, but of course he was after what we've just read about his interaction with the demon in the synagogue. Mark doesn't want to focus on casting out demons anymore. He moves on to something else. He moves us on to this leper. And I think of these three healings that we see in this first chapter of Mark, this is perhaps the most significant. When Jesus cast out the demon in the synagogue, we saw, here is the king who has come to cast out the powers of darkness. Here the king has come to overthrow the kingdom of darkness. For those of you familiar with the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it's as if Aslan has come and the thaw has come to Narnia. Here we see the demons terrified before this king who has come to overthrow them. And then Mark showed us this healing of Simon's mother-in-law, showing that part of the coming kingdom is this overthrowing of all the corruption of nature. All that sin has done, Jesus the King is coming to undo. And so we're told that with this coming kingdom, there will be a complete restoration, a complete healing of all things. But I think here in this third healing, this healing of the leper, there's something more going on. In order to understand this reference to leprosy, it's important for us to see the background. Listen to how one commentator described the effect of leprosy. He said, if the priest declared a particular skin problem to be leprosy, the sufferer was excluded from the community by divine decree. This banishment was not rooted in any fear of spreading the disease, but of spreading religious impurity. Leprosy was considered a primary source of uncleanness. Like a corpse, the leper could impart impurity to objects found within the same enclosure. As a result, he or she was viewed as a living corpse, and a cure was likened to raising the dead. So in showing us this leper, Mark is not just showing us another man who is afflicted the same way that Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted. We're not just dealing here with a physical ailment. What we're dealing with here is an uncleanness. The leper's primary problem was not his illness, but the religious impurity that came from it. His problem was not medical, but religious. As a leper, he would have had no access to the community of faith. He was cast out from the people of God. He was cast out from the temple. He could not draw near to God. He could not worship. And so Jesus comes to this leper, and the leper cries out to him with a cry of desperation. He says, if you will, you can make me clean. We can almost just hear this desperation in this man's voice. Say, I know who you are. I've heard of you. The crowds have come back from seeing you, and they have been speaking about how you heal people. And if you want me to be clean, if you want me to be healed, you can make me clean. You can heal me. You can almost imagine the crowd as this leper came to Jesus, just hushing, silent. Probably not sure if they should be this close to a leper to begin with, but definitely unsure of how Jesus will respond to this man. Will he respond like they would expect, like the religious leaders of the day, telling this leper to get far from them because they were clean and he was unclean? Or was he to do something different, like he so typically does? Well, of course, Jesus blows their expectations out the water, and he goes not just close to this man, not just in the same vicinity to this man, which would have classed him as unclean, but he touches him. He reaches out and he touches this man. We could almost imagine the crowd's silence going to suddenly a gasp. What has he done? He's touched a leper. What has this man done? But Jesus doesn't just touch him. Jesus pronounces him clean. We're told in verse 42, and immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And it was verifiable. Jesus told him, go to the temple, show yourself to the priest, offer up what the law requires so that they can see that you are healed, that you are now clean. Jesus didn't just pronounce it. He didn't just speak words, but he actually made him clean in a way that a third party could see and be amazed. So then we must ask, what does this teach me about Jesus? As we've seen, that's Mark's purpose in this whole gospel. This series that we're going through is entitled The Confrontation with Christ for a reason. That's Mark's purpose. He wants to confront us with Christ. He wants to show us Christ and then ask us the question, what will you do with him? And so we must ask now, well, what does this teach you about Jesus? What does this teach me about Jesus? Well, the applications of this text can be many. We can say, well, here we see Jesus the healer. Just like he healed Simon Peter's mother, here we see this is a man who has an extraordinary ability to override the forces of nature, to perform miracles, and to heal a man, to heal a body. And that's true, and that's definitely in here. We could say, well, this passage shows us Jesus as our supreme example, doesn't it? Jesus is showing us the importance of touch. So if we are coming to someone who is grieving, we should not just speak to them, but we should perhaps hug them or embrace them or touch them in some way. And perhaps that's involved here some way, in some manner. We could say, well, we see Jesus as our example, showing us that we should reach out to our social outcasts, that we should go to the poorest members of our society. We should go to the unwashed, homeless people. We should volunteer at homeless shelters. We should go to the outcasts of our society. And that's true. I'm not sure that's what this passage is teaching, but that's certainly a teaching we get in the New Testament. I think what the main point of this passage is that we see Jesus as the one who makes us clean by taking our uncleanness upon himself. I don't think that this is primarily a medical miracle. This is primarily a spiritual miracle. Here we see a Savior who doesn't just make us clean, but does it by taking our uncleanness upon himself. And so this miracle teaches us about the end of the book. It teaches us about the nature of the cross and what will happen there. I think in this leper, we see here every man. This is an example of every man, of every man's spiritual condition. We may not all have medical afflictions. We may not all know what it is like to long for that day when all humanity is restored. We may not ever come into harsh head-to-head conflict with the powers of darkness, though we will all come into that in a degree. But we will all know, we do all know, or we should all know, what it is to be unclean, to know that we are unable to come before a holy God because of our uncleanness. There is not a single person in the world who does not have the leper's problem. There is not a single person that you will meet that does not share this leper's problem, this leper's burden of being unclean before a righteous and holy God. Now, as we read the passages in Leviticus, where we are told about the uncleanness of the leper and how it restricts lepers from coming in, we can think, well, that's arbitrary. Why this? Why are we being told that? Well, it drives home for us the holiness of God, the purity of God, the otherness of God. This wasn't for no reason. And so with this leper, we are in his place reminded of this holiness of God, of our uncleanness before a holy God. Now if you have studied Mark in any depth and read through commentaries, you'll notice that a lot of commentators see what's going on here as a transfer. They usually say that what we see here is Jesus making a man clean without himself becoming ritually unclean. They say, look here, here is a man unlike any other. He is able to reach out and touch this leper, And rather than the leper making him unclean, he makes the leper clean. I think that's wrong. I think that's half true. That is half true, but it's not wholly true. Jesus becomes unclean in this transaction. According to the law, Jesus becomes unclean. Certainly we see a man who is righteous like no other, who is able to touch men and pronounce them to be clean, and he was clean, verifiably so, as we saw. He was able to go to the temple and be welcomed back into the community worship of Israel. But I think Jesus does become unclean here. He, in touching this leper, takes his uncleanness upon himself. And that is what we see happening at the cross. You see, as Jesus hung on the cross, he hung there taking the uncleanness of all his people. Your uncleanness, your ritual impurity, your sin, which barred you from coming close to a holy God. He takes on the cross all your uncleanness, all your law breaking, all your sin. Everything that separates you from God, Jesus took upon himself, so that you would no longer be separated from God, but he would in your stead. 2 Corinthians 5 testifies to this, where Paul says that God made Jesus, the one who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. It wasn't just that Jesus takes your sin as a Christian and casts it away without anything happening to himself. No, Jesus takes your sin and he bears it in himself to the point that Paul can say that God made him sin. He didn't just bear sin, he became sin. He was as cursed as any man has ever been because your sin, your uncleanness was upon him. And so like this leper, believer, in Jesus you are made clean. But in that double transaction, Jesus is made unclean. And this is the good news of the gospel. Mark is showing us here a Savior that no one could have ever expected. This is a King who comes and goes to the depths. This is a King not riding in on a mighty charger, declaring his kingdom come. But he comes on a donkey. This is a King who comes not with a sword in his hand, but with nails in his hand. Not a King who comes to cast out the unclean from his kingdom, but to become the most unclean one in his kingdom, that we could, without fear, come before his Father in heaven. Jesus takes your uncleanness upon himself. He faces that separation. He faces the Father turning his face away so that the Father can turn his face towards you and call you his child, his beloved, the one in whom he delights. Believer, see here a tremendous Savior who has given all for you. That is our Jesus. That is our Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that in Jesus Christ you have brought a perfect salvation. Lord, it is a salvation that none of us could have expected. That you, the Holy God, would take on the uncleanness of us, of sinners, that we might be declared clean and acceptable and holy and pure and righteous in your sight. Our Father, we pray that you would impress upon us the seriousness of sin. We ask that you would impress upon our hearts that it was our sin that held Jesus to the cross, that it was bearing our sin that he became sin, and faced the wrath of the Father that we could be accepted in your sight. Lord, we pray that this gospel would drive us to service, that having seen the cost of our salvation, it would change everything, and it would change our lives, and it would change our relationships, and it would change our priorities, and it would change our speech and our actions and everything because of the magnificence of your grace shown to us in this gospel. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.